The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The notion of time, as we know and use it, is what is called in Greek chronos. But the way the Jewish people viewed time is not different, but they saw moments, moments and moments. The ancient Greek word for it is kairos, and it means the right time or the opportune time. Oh, the opportune moment, pardon me. It refers to the timeliness or the critical moment. And I suspect that without our careful attention and scrutiny, it is possible to miss it as it happens even in our own lives. The moment that is critical in your life, because our lives are so made with all kinds of ordinary moments, all kinds of ordinary moments, but within those ordinary moments, some people are much more perceptive to the movements of God, of what God is doing throughout those moments. And I love watching those investigator shows. I don't know, there are so many, I think. But I love to watch them because I see people hunting for clues that constitute the critical moments when things went wrong or when things changed dramatically. And that way they can go back and learn when and where the mistake was made that caused the accident. Now, I'm coming back to the gospel writers now. The gospel writers were so attuned to these kairos moments in their stories. And in fact, this word kairos is found in the Bible 87 times. And Mark tells his story, and this is my chosen critical moment. He says, "John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." And what actually he was saying there, that John was famous. He really got famous. Where? Not in the city, but in the wilderness. He got very famous, and people went there. Throngs of people went to see John in the wilderness. So Mark goes on to tell us the timeliness of these moments, and by introducing to us the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and his baptism by John. And the significance of this event is huge in our lives because it points us to our own repentance. We have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to understand what are those critical moments where God is so involved with our lives, and are we missing it when it's happening? Are we missing it? That's the question. And the best that we could Now I was thinking, it's crossing pathways with Jesus. And let me tell you, it is a transforming time when that happens. And it's not like those of the New Year's resolution, if some of you did this past New Year's Eve, or some people do New Year's resolutions, but we know pretty much how that goes down. You know, some of us, by February, forget about it. We were not going to do this. We cannot only rely on our willpower, because that can get us so far. We need God's grace to strengthen us to make it and do what pleases Him. And Mark describes how the baptism of repentance was like, if you were looking at the coming of the gospel, that was the very beginning of the first glimpses of what the gospel is, what it is. It was that the early morning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, first century Jews were all asked to change and repent. That was the message of John the Baptist. And the Greek word that he was used is metanoia, meaning a complete change of mind, a new direction of will and purpose in life. Our journeys? In Jewish teaching, though, God's forgiveness followed human repentance. Does anyone remember Zacchaeus? You know, the short guy who went to see Jesus in a tree? If you went to Sunday school, you had that song. He promised to repay those he defrauded 4 times and to give the poor half of his possessions. Then the forgiveness of God would follow. That's how people saw that. Now, the critical moment of John's appearance was significant because now when he came, he was specific to describe what he was wearing because it was important for the people to recognize him as a prophet, as other prophets before him had said, that prophet is going to come to prepare the coming of the Lord. So they knew what he was talking about by saying, this is what he wore. And he said, it wasn't probably not the latest name brand of his time. Here it would be like Gucci or North Face or Louis Vuitton, but camel's hair. Then they would recognize what Isaiah would have said. The leather belt, and he ate locust and wild honey as his food, and of course no lobster or gourmet burgers or no filet mignon. There was already self-denial. That's where I started to see the gospel screaming out there from the mouth of John the Baptist. Mortification of self, this flesh desires, contempt from the world's best enticing goods, contempt from the world's ruling and attractive values. John said no to all of it. Non-conformity to the world. And curiously, martyrs also were murdered for their faith, for rejecting the advances of the world's values. That's the wilderness that we are invited into. We are invited to repentance and returning to God. Just like these first century Jews were going to see John in the wilderness, we also are invited into that journey, leaving behind our comforts, our sins, and knowing that this baptism of repentance was calling them for deeper renovation of the heart, a real transforming experience in their lives. So they sought God, confessed their sins, and presented to God their burdens and their failures, their inadequacies, and they followed John's discipline. It takes stamina to stay the course for the rest of your life as a new creation in Christ. As it turns out, I came to find out that John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. For some reason, I thought it was Malachi. But no, it was John the Baptist. Both Isaiah and Malachi and Jesus spoke of him, how important he was in the lives of believers. He was here on earth to prepare the way of the Lord. And let me tell you, you and I came into this world for a specific reason. And my prayer is that at some point in our lives, at that critical moment of your life, in your journey, you would meet Jesus, the Son of God, and the light would come on, and the heavens and the earth would open, just like at the baptism of Jesus Christ, so that you would see great power and great beauty and great mystery to understand what is the mission that God has given me to accomplish here on earth. And the voice of God came down from heaven at that point when Jesus was baptized and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Now, I know you were created to become like Christ Jesus, the Son of God. This is my prayer for you, is that you would hear God's voice saying to you, you are my child, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Amen.